Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Flowcheck Podcast, everyone. Flowcheckpodcast at gmail.com. I am Kevin Sully, joined by Gordon Mack, who is now wearing glasses for the first time in his life. Gordon, how do they feel?
They feel dizzying. Do you know that? I don't know. I looked it up. Apparently, when you put on glasses for the first time, you get dizzy. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Someone told me it takes a few days for your eyes to get used to the glasses. So.
Yeah,
I'm in the dizzy phase right now.
Absolutely. Wait, I'm a glasses veteran, contact now, but wait till you go back to the optometrist and they switch up, you know, the prescription, right? They make it a little stronger. You'll go through it again then too. So are you seeing things clearer though? Is it working?
Wait,
yet?
So I'm just going to be dizzy forever?
No, you're not going to change your prescription every week or two, but like say you go back for an appointment in a year or two. They might tighten it up. They might keep it the same, but I have had those headaches before, like you're talking about. But like, are you seeing things? Is it working? Did you realize
yeah, I do see things
like,
better.
Previously your vision was just terrible and you're just like, oh, this is supposed to be way clearer.
It is a fun game when I just go up and down with them. I'm like, whoa, I feel like yeah. I have like a, I mean, I feel like a kid with like that magnifying glass and like mm-hmm. elementary science yeah. class. Like, well, yeah. you can see the little leaf. Zoom in on the organisms. But that's for me, it's just I can see the words on the screen.
A whole new Gordon like then.
Yeah.
So maybe you're more qualified for photo finish analysis now. Because before.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think those.
You were out there.
Coleman Jacobs line is going to be a lot clearer now. That's a good point.
All right, on the site and on YouTube, we got the race breakdowns. I did Emmanuel Wagnoni this week, and that really, I want to say fun 800. Also, I did Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce last week. You got the NCAA show, where you're talking an awful lot about Texas. We were out at Texas yesterday, filming a couple workouts with some of the pro athletes, but also the collegians. You're optimistic about this group, Gordon.
About Texas, yeah, I'm more than optimistic. I am predicting greatness to come out. Just watch the NCAA track and field show episode, and I break down why Texas is going to do something pretty good next week. It's kind of hard. People, the NCAA season, sometimes, you know, you see individual performances here and there, but you never really think about the sum of the parts, and you kind of see that I don't know the word I'm trying to say. Anyway.
Lost me.
Just check it out. So NCAA show going up at 11 a.m. Central on YouTube, 12 p.m. on Facebook. You did your race breakdown, with this 15 runners in an 800.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, as I said, it was fun because you had a lot. There's a lot going on here. You had the presence of 15 guys. You had Bergen almost falling. You had Mula's mismatch kit, which was cool. You had the big kick from Wanyoni and Mula at the finish line. And then also you had the weird lean because it looked like Mula was going to get it, but then he leans, I think, too early and is actually coming back when you get across the finish line. And also just big picture what it meant. So, yeah, check it out if you haven't already. Find it wherever you find our other content. We also should mention we got a lot of meets coming up on the site the next couple days, right? We got a lot of continental tours coming. So
we do.
We can throw up the schedule right now for folks to see. So starting on today. Well, here's the schedule. Let's throw it up and I'll read it out loud for those of you watching. Actually, Gordon with his eyes.
No, I'm not.
You got Bidgosh.
No, I'm not and reading Duhar, his names.
Chorzow and Hengelo. Yeah, I guess it doesn't help you with the pronunciation, but with actually seeing the letters. That's the schedule. So starting, that's today, Bidgosh, at 11 a.m. Central. And then continuing through the weekend, a lot of Continental Tour meets that you can watch live on FlowTrack, which I'm sure we'll talk about on Monday, in addition to the Rabat Diamond League, which is where we will begin our show today. Gordon, headlining event for you is?
Well, I mean, it's always Elaine Thompson Hurrah, right? She's always a headline. Whenever she's on the track, you got to see what she's going to do. She's not going up against that deep of a field in this one. I mean, Toulouse in the race, Natasha Morrison's in the race, Del Ponte's in the race, but Michelle Lee from Trinidad and Tobago. But it's all about Elaine Thompson Hurrah. This is a Elaine Thompson Hurrah versus clock race, in my opinion. And I'll be excited to see how it goes down. She's been running consistent, but she still has yet to really put down like an incredible mark. Like, remember, Shelly and Fraser Price has a faster season's best than Elaine Thompson Hurrah. Mm-hmm. Yet we look at Elaine as the prohibited favorite. So mm-hmm. I'm looking for maybe this might be a moment where Elaine Thompson Hurrah joins Shelly and Fraser Price in the 10-6 club. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she gets some good conditions, throws down a 10-6-5, 10-6-6 or something like that. So ooh, to kind of set herself up well as we're coming in on what? Less than how many weeks are we? How many days are we from Worlds?
I screwed this up last time, so I don't want to play the math game. Mid July is when it starts. So we're about 6 weeks out of World Championships. She's probably going to run
40 days.
Right, and she's going to run, you know, at the Jamaican Championships, I'm assuming, in at least the one or the two, maybe both. So she wants to be in good form for that. I hope she runs against Fraser Price, although Fraser Price would have the bye in the 100. So I think this will be, man, if she goes 10-6, this is a lot of travel, right? She's just in the US. Now flying halfway across the country to Rabat. I agree that it's her against the clock. I think right now the only person who can give her a true test is Fraser Price. From the Jamaican perspective, I'm interested in Natasha Morrison. I mean, she was 10-8 last year. And when we were talking about, hey, that Jamaican 4x1 for women, they smash the world record. She was one of the people in it. Now, obviously, they have a lot of depth with Brianna Williams as well, in addition to Jackson, Fraser Price, and Elaine Thompson Hurrah. So I kind of have, she hasn't run that fast this year, so I'm interested to see what she has. Is she a contender to make the Jamaican team? Can she be, you know, that fourth person for Team Jamaica in the 100? Got a comment here on YouTube. Comment on YouTube if you're watching live. In what world is Elaine a prohibitive favorite in the women's 100? The world where we currently reside.
That's yes, Earth.
What's
planet
what,
Earth?
What do you mean? What are we talking about here? We've been watching the same sport over the last year. Planet Earth, correct.
Planet Earth.
That's where Elaine Thompson Hurrah is the prohibitive favorite for not just this race, but for all the races until proven otherwise.
Is this like a Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce stan or something? Or is this like even crazier, like a Sha'Carri stan?
No, even if you're a big Fraser-Pryce fan, which I don't know, is Jamaica split between Fraser-Pryce fans and Thompson Raw fans? That'd be an interesting question to find out. Send me to Jamaica and I'll do a deep dive on that. But you, even if you are a Fraser-Pryce fan, I think you have to admit Thompson Raw is a favorite. Fraser-Pryce obviously beat her last year, but looking at what she did at the Olympics and then at Prix, I think she's still the favorite until proven otherwise. I would need to see Fraser-Pryce take her down. Am I going to be surprised if that happens? No, because nothing Fraser-Pryce does surprises me, both in terms of times and in placing. But Thompson Raw is number one and should be number one right now. I'm looking forward to this men's 400 hurdles, Gordon, with Carson Warholm opening his season in this event. No Ry Benjamin, no Alison Dos Santos, but Dos Santos has been running really well so far. And with about 6 weeks until the World Championships, I'd expect Warholm to be in pretty good form. He's opened really fast before, so I think we should expect something quick from him. And I think Dos Santos, we already saw how much pressure he's putting on Ry Benjamin. Beat him already this year. Like, this will tell us, hey, is Warholm going to be in that same vicinity? Or is Warholm going to open with 46 and basically say, no, no, no. It's still my event. It's still all me. So I'm excited to see what he does. He's run fast with no competition before, because when you run that fast, there's very few people who can give you competition. I think he will. I think he'll go 47 low at the slowest. Otherwise, I'd be very not worried, but I would be curious as to what's going to happen next if he's like 47 mid or higher. He can run race slow races. You go back.
You'd be
and you
concerned
look,
with the 47.8. You'd be like, ooh, guy runs. Come on.
Not concerned. Curious. Curious as to what the event is going to look like this year. I chose my words carefully there. Not concerned, but it will be. I don't know. I just think it'll be interesting. Like, you look at Warholm's past seasons, and like I said, he opens fast. He ran. He doesn't really run slow races anymore. Right? He had that one at the Norwegian Championships, or was like, you know, he ran that open four that wasn't that quick at the end of this last season. But, you know, by and large, the guy does not miss at all. And I'm just big on what Dos Santos has been doing this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think it will be good to see where he's at. Similar to, like, we want to see Sydney in the 400 hurdles as well. Right? Like, we haven't seen Sydney yet. We saw in a random 100 hurdles at Penn Relays. But yeah, he opened up a 46.7. You're right. His slowest time he ran was 47.3. I guess 48.
They ran that four. That was in Berlin, like postseason. I'm talking about his ramp up to a major championship. I'm looking at 2020. He ran like an indoor 400, and then he ran that 300-meter hurdle world record, and then he opened with 47.10 in Monaco. Then it was 46.87. In 2019, 47.85, 47.33, 47.12. So I guess, you know, mid-45s would suffice, but the event is different now than it was
you just
in
said,
2019.
You just said mid-45s would suffice.
Sorry, mid-47s, mid-47s. Freudian slip there. Mid 47s. But the event's different now than it was in 2019, right? Dos Santos is now a factor, right? Everybody's running quicker than they were 2 years ago. So I'd expect something quick out the gate. Like, I expect for him not to leave any doubt about who's number one, just based on what Warholm's track record has been in this event. But fun to see him run. Let's talk about the 800, though. You got some of your names here from that last. You're basically calling this, what are you calling this? Kenyan Trials. Kenyan Trials is what Gordon has called this, because you got Wanyonyi in there, Ferguson Rotich, Emmanuel Carrier, Collins Kipruto, Michael Cerruti. So you have five really fast Kenyans. And then in addition, you have Nigel Amos, who's coming off a run. I think it was actually a solid run, considering where the 800 is. In Ostrava, you got Tuca, Twal, Mariano Garcia, indoor champion. This will be a good test for Wanyonyi. Last time was his first race outside of Africa, or outside of Kenya. This will be his second race outside of Kenya. I want to see how he does against this field, which, you know, it's just as good as the one he beat in Ostrava.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see the former UTEP guys in Carrier and Cerruti, and see if either of those ones can pop off of a 143 to kind of take hold of this men's 800, because right now it just seems kind of weird, one, having Moad Sahafi running 143 in Gainesville, Florida, be the world lead. It's also weird that, like, being a 144 runner puts you in top three in the world. Like, we need some 143s. We need to start changing this top 10 list in 2022 to have at least four or five 143s, maybe even a 142. Mm-hmm. Like, we need a 142 before Worlds, which I don't think we're going to get. But
yeah, maybe not.
At least a 143 low before Worlds. So maybe this is that race. It looks like it's good enough. We'll see where Carrier is, you know, physically. We haven't seen him yet. Mm-hmm. I think we did see him in a 400. I think he ran a 400, but we haven't seen him in his main event. So I'm excited for this. And then it's going to be Kenyan Trials-esque, because I think the Kenyan 800 team, one of the harder teams to make, similar to like the men's 100 in U.S. So I'm kind of excited to see where the pecking order is. Maybe is the 17-year-old now the new top dog in Kenya? That'll be kind of such a quick change. Because this is looking at last year, I believe. Yeah, it was Carrier, Rotich, Cornelius, and then Wanyonyi. So we'll see if things have changed.
Carrier, I am worried about. 146 last race and got sixth. And then he ran a 400, but it was in that horrible weather meet out in Jacksonville. I am concerned about where Carrier's at right now, in a similar way that I'd be concerned about where Brazier's at. The two guys we thought going into the season, you can make an argument for both of those guys as the number one 800 meter runner in the world, and for completely different reasons, but you can make arguments for both of them. Both of them are entering a stage in the season where you need to see something if you're going to believe they can do it. And for Carrier, I think it's even more dire, because you're right, he's got to make the team, and it's so hard to make. Right? Or does he have Diamond? Who has a bye? Sorry, I should look this up ahead of time.
I don't think he has the bye.
Did he win the Diamond League final? Getting on it right now. Travis is on it. He does have it. All right. So he does have it. So
oh, he does they have are, it. Okay.
So they're in similar positions here, right? Both have a bye. Both fortunate to have a bye, particularly Carrier, because of how tough it would be to make it out of his trials. But both haven't shown us anything. Both have not shown us anything to give us any sort of confidence that they're where they were before. So men's 800, keep an eye on that one. Any other events we got? Let's see. Abel Kipsang running another 1500. I think he's going to run all of them. Kenny Bednarik in the 200, and then Nian Saba in the 3000 were the other headliners that I saw.
Yeah. So are you going to be with me for the Post Rabat live show?
Ooh. Yeah, we're planning a Post Rabat live show. Put me down for a soft maybe. What is that, 5 p.m. on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
3 p.m. on Sunday?
3, yeah. Maybe? 3 o'clock.
3 p.m. Sunday. Central. Okay. It depends how fast Warholm runs. If he runs slower than 47.5, I'll bring my panic button, and you'll be like, wait, why are you panicking about the world record holder preemptively? Gregory asks, Gordon, are you sure the glasses are for up close and not distance? Could be why it feels dizzy while on the computer. I mean, you went to a legit optometrist who told you what to do, right? You just like pick random pair of glasses.
So went to CVS. Like, those look cool. Yeah. Put them on. Oh, I can see better now.
They're prescription glasses, yes. Correct?
For you. The whole you. Number one or number yeah. two thing, the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that experience before. With the headaches when things yeah. get tweaked. So I think that's the, I think Gordon was in good hands, whoever his optometrist was. Let's see, what else do we got? Festival of Miles, Gary Martin, high schooler. He ran fast again, but then we had another high school sub four runner.
Yeah. It's a junior, Connor Burns, runs 3:58 mm-hmm. right behind Gary Martin, who I believe lowered his time to 3:57, just a little bit. I think, was it a PB? I'm not sure. Because you ran 3:57 at the high school district meet.
Yeah.
This district meet. So maybe slightly lowered it again. But now another one runs sub four. Okay, yeah, he ran 3:57.98, then he ran 3:57.89. So just about a tenth of a second PB. Faster.
Take that
PB's PB. PB's a PB. But I think... Obviously, I think the story here is kind of interesting how no one was thinking Connor Burns from Missouri was on the verge of running a 3:58 junior. It's the first time we've ever had two high school kids break four in the same race.
Mm-hmm.
And the list now of sub four milers just continues to grow. It's going to grow even more next year when the Newberry Park juniors, who will become seniors, is Aaron Solomon, Lex, and Leo Young. Those guys are all probably going to be sub four contenders next year.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, Connor Burns becomes one of the top coveted recruits, right? In for next year's, you know, distance recruiting classes. Where do you think he should go? He's from Missouri.
Mm.
What coach do you think is eyeing him right now?
All of them. He ran 3:58. All of them. I thought of two things after this race. One, he ran 4:02 before this. In any other year, in any other era, we would have been like, ooh, sub four watch. Everybody would have got super excited about the potential because it's not as if this was out of nowhere. This guy was legitimately fast. Two, I think I said at the beginning of the season we were going to have multiple sub fours this year. I don't know if I put an exact number on it. And I was wondering if that was actually going to happen, because I know we had Solomon and Martin, but I'm pretty sure I said more than two because two did not seem that out there. So now we have three in a year, which we're getting closer to this just becoming a routine, regular thing. And what I said is we're going to get to the point where you need to run under four to be the national. Like every year, there's going to be a high school boy under four because yeah. it's not the barrier that it was. We've been down that road. We don't need to talk about how it matches up to other times and other performances. But when you have two in one race and one of the guys who's done it already did it and did it at a district meet, it kind of goes to show you where it's at right now.
Travis, can you pull up those results again, though? On the screen? So who did these high school kids beat?
Oh, they beat a
college kid, Jason Clayton. That's okay. You're in college. You're still developing. You and Makepeace.
Oh, your guy. Yeah.
Wesley Kiptoo. Ooh.
Your guy.
That's not good.
But see, he just.
Kiptoo.
He just has to retire. He just has to retire from the mile, though. Right? None of these guys are. How many? They didn't meet any milers.
Austin Dahlquist. Jordan Mann. He's a steepler. Okay. So.
Yeah.
He beats some pros. Everybody's fine right now. But none of these pros are 1,500 meter runners, so you guys are safe. But I was a little worried there for Wesley Kiptoo. He just became a pro. He's already losing the high school
kids. Yeah.
Not a good look.
That'd be immediate relegation. That'd be rough. You just get called up to the big time, and then you have to go back down. What was the process to get back up? Did you ever say that? Or is there no nothing?
I don't know.
You're retired. You can't get unretired?
Yeah, the process is you're allowed to lose. Once you lose twice to a high school kid in your event, you have to retire. That's the rule. I don't know if there's a way to get out.
I think you're just done. Okay, forever. Okay, wow.
Because it used to be, well, there is a way to get out. Don't lose the second time. So
you're allowed to lose twice.
You're only allowed to lose once. Once you lose twice, then you're out. So the way to get out is don't lose a second time.
Love it.
Actually, if you know you're about to lose a second time, it's best for you to DNF. Because then I won't hold it against you. I'll be like, oh, they were rabbiting or something. And then you're good. But yeah, don't lose the high school kids if you're being paid to run professionally.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what you shouldn't be doing.
Checking on the chat over here. All in the Game says, shout out to 16-year-old Angelina, Topic, who just became the youngest to high jump 1.95. Currently, U18 world record is 1.96. Will be the youngest to hit 1.96 if she does it before July 26. Shout out.
That's a very specific stat. Did not know about the age group records for high jump.
Yeah. Tam Eagle says, not good at all. I'm working on a bench. I told you this, Gordon. 2022 is all about the bench for me. You're the jumper. You're the jumper of the two. We all know that about you.
I haven't done my dunk follow-up yet. I'm still so my recovery, for those wondering, I don't think anyone's really wondering, but I tried to do a bench press today, well, yesterday. Didn't work.
Oh.
My arm can't handle it.
Oh, because your shoulder's still screwed up.
Yeah. So still can't do a push-up. I can do everything else, but I can't do a push-up.
Yeah. Well, you got glasses now. That could change the equation.
It can. I'll be able to see the hoop and be able to time my jump better.
No, I was saying when you bench, it just adds a little more pressure to your, like, you don't want the bar to, like, slam down on you.
On my face?
I guess that would have gone really far. I got pinned the other day benching. That was an experience. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Where you weren't able to get the bar up?
Yeah. I was at the end of a set and I got it pinned and it, like, I was by myself. I didn't have anybody spotting. So it's kind of like adrenaline kicks in. You're like, okay, this could be it for me.
What'd you do?
So I tried to slide the weight off one side. But then it was lower weight, but a whole bunch of reps. So then once I kind of just kept it there, it wasn't like crushing me and I could like roll it onto my stomach. I just needed to like give my arms a little bit of time to recover, and then I was able to kind of push it on my stomach and then crunch up. But for a moment there, it was worrying. If I was doing like huge, like big weight for me, then that would have been really bad because I couldn't have moved it, obviously. And I would have obviously wanted to have a spotter, but since it was
low. So you almost died yesterday?
No, this wasn't yesterday. This was like 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
You almost died 2 weeks ago, and now you're just telling me this?
No, I wasn't going to. It would have been bad if it was a one rep max type of situation, but it was a thing where I was doing just 10 and then taking a break and then 10, like going. So I needed a second to catch my breath. And then I thought about it logically because I'm trying to slide the weight off. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I can just hold this here and like I can scooch this to my stomach and then I can crunch up. Like it's not that much weight. Or I could just hold it here and then eventually my arms are going to recover and I can get it off my chest. It was like doing, you know, repeat quarters with 60 seconds rest. And then by the fifth one, sixth one, whatever, you're gassed. But then if you took a, you know, 3 minute break or something, you could go and run that time again. That's basically what it was. In any event, Tamp Eagle says, I think the shot will be good in Rabat with Kovacs. Are you giving Kovacs a chance, Gordon, to beat? Krauser.
Ever since Krauser lost World Indoors, anyone can win.
Okay, so you wouldn't bet your house on that one?
No. I haven't decided who my house bet is. Have I made a house bet?
Yeah, you made a house bet. It was something like Abby Steiner will set the Kleger.
Is it Abby Steiner? It might have been Abby Steiner.
We're trying to pull up the wait. Where is the shot? Is there no? What is? I'm trying to find. We're trying to find the shot put start list for Rabat. I don't see it. There's a discus throw. Champ Eagle, did you lead us astray here? Is it on the day before? Man, he just wanted to see if we would read anything related to Kovacs. I think that's that was
maybe it's at trick. Maybe it's at one of the Continental Tours.
Yeah, hey, he threw well last meet, so props him. All right. Oh, he's on
yeah, the Continental Tour.
Yeah, big gosh. That's today. Wait, did yeah. I? Okay, maybe I assumed that he. No, he did say.
Look at that graphic. Looks like he's like
good graphic
melting, he's melting onto the meet day font.
I know. I'm not sure what they're going for, but I like it. All right, next on the rundown, I have written down here: talk about NCAA rankings. I think you wrote that, Gordon.
What yeah, do you well, talk about. So first of all, go check out the NCAA show, track and field show. But if you don't want to watch me talk about track, you can watch me. You can just look at the rankings. So go to the rankings. Let's bring up the rankings. And Kevin, I want you to kind of critique
take a break.
Two events. Oh. So let's ask the chat what event they want us to break down. Chat, let us know what event are you most interested in, and then we will critique that ranking. So let me know when we have people in the chat saying what NCAA ranking they need to break
down. Wait, so you want me to look at the chat, or you want me to look at the rankings? It's a lot.
I want you to look at the chat. The chat's going to tell us which ranking to critique. Yeah. You're going to critique it. Chat. You're going to tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay. Anyone what if anything? The chat doesn't say anything?
If the chat doesn't say anything, then you pick the event.
Okay. Well, which ones I don't like or just in general?
Just pick an event. We're going to look at the top eight that I have, and you're going to tell me if you agree, disagree, whatever.
All right. Let's go to the men's 100.
Okay. Men's 100.
You have favor Ash number one, Makai Williams number two, Bowling three, Harris four. I would have Williams one. That's my critique.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting some suggestions, though.
So why not favor Ash?
I just, the 9-8 to me, legal. And I think Williams, he had the DQ indoors, but ran well last year, ran well at USA's last year.
You don't think a 9-7-9 with 3+ wind means anything?
It means something for sure, but I weight the 9-8 legal better. I think it's between those three guys you have listed. Probably two. It's probably between those two. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I would say it's between, I think the top four on the men's side. I think Harris.
Well, you have four guys who can win it.
Yeah, I would think, I'd put Makai Harris as well. Harris, not as likely in the one as he would be in the two, but Bowling, Williams, put Fombula also maybe potentially in the mix. However, the 100's not enough meters for him to make up the gap that he's probably going to give favor Ash and Williams. I can see Williams being the favorite because it is home. He did get DQ'd indoors, did run 9.86 legal.
Yeah.
I did say he's probably one of the best runners in the U.S., so why am I picking him to lose NCAAs? But I think we may be sleeping on favor Ash. Tennessee, man. Justin Gatlin, Christian Coleman.
Yeah.
Favor Ash.
Yeah. Things no, come I'm in not threes. I'm not sleeping on
him. Things come in threes.
I'm not sleeping on him. I just so his 10 best marks all time, 10 of this is legal. 10.04, 10.10, 10.12, 10.14. Williams is
yeah, bad. That's a you were that's a cherry pick stat, bro. That's a cherry pick stat. He won SECs. Why? He won SECs and he ran 9.79 this year. That's like the two stats that matter most.
Well, he hasn't gotten sub 10 legal. That matters.
He's not a not God. He can't control the wind, bro.
I'm not asking. Why are you calling me bro all of a sudden? This is really weird. Yeah, Williams 9.86 and 9.93 this year, and then a 9.91 last year. Okay, people want to know about the 200, women's 200.
All right. So I'm not biased with my rankings. I let my personal beliefs kind of get eliminated, and I went with favor of Philly. I personally think Abby Steiner's going to win, but when you're representing FloTrack and the FloTrack rankings, you have to give credit where credit's due. And I'm going with favor of Philly as the favorite at one, Abby Steiner two, Kennedy Flannel three, Kavona Davis four, and then Anivia Battle five. The fact that Battle is down to five, I thought was kind of surprising. That Texas Olympia. Could put two in the top four, which is why Texas women are going to destroy everyone at this meet. But yeah, I'm going with the Philly first, Steiner second. Mm. But like, we know those two are going to finish 1-2. The big debate is who's going to be the one of the two.
Yeah.
She has to be one. Thinks it's Steiner. FloTrack thinks it's Ofili.
Ofili has to be one.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is the clear number one. In the most important race this year, we'd all agree is SECs, correct? For those athletes?
Could you say NCAA Indoor 200 was important, more important?
No, because I think it's just a different race. Okay. And I like to do a reset after that season. Listen,
okay, fair enough.
Her PB is faster, right? She's got the collegiate record, and she beat her head-to-head in the most important race of outdoors. So that all that to say, Steiner could – it's close still, but there's not really an argument for Ofili at two and Steiner at one. Unless you're just heavily weighting indoors, which I think would be strange to say the least. Because then you can't just do it for this one event. You'd have to go back and heavily weight indoors for every single event. And that would highlight just kind of how foolish that would be. So I think Ofili is clearly number one.
Here's a...
Not by much.
I'm going to do a little experiment. Let's check out Ofili's and Steiner's. Mark, so what is Ofili's third best 200 this year?
What is her? Is trivia or is this a rhetorical question? Are you going to answer it?
It's a rhetorical question. I'm figuring it out as we go. Her third best 200 this year is 22.08. So she has a 21.96, then a 22.04, and then a 22.08. Mm-hmm. Her third best, 22.08. Abby Steiner's third best 200. She has run 22.05, 22.07, and 22.01. So 22.07 is Abby Steiner's third best 200. Also good. And sometimes,
you know what they say?
That's a stat you look at, be like, you try to take away their flash in the pan best mark. And see where are they consistently running. And I guess 22.07 and 22.08 are pretty much the same.
Correct. It shows that it's even or very close, which I think is very close. But again, you can't really make an argument based on outdoor results that leads you to Ofili not being number one. I always said, you can put this on a t-shirt, you're only as good as your third best performance.
Yes. It's true.
I think that's what most people feel.
Do you know that that's like really true, though? Do you know that that's really true? Hmm. Horizontal jumps. Yes.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before. Because Carl said this.
Carl Lewis told us that. He's like, throw out everyone's best jump. That means nothing. Mm-hmm. I want to know what their third best jump is. Because that shows
you're doing the Lewis test.
In a six-round thing, you know, because... Anyone can have a crazy perfect jump, but can you put it together six times in a row?
I always say that for ultra marathons. Anybody can luck out on their first 100 miler, but what's your third best 100 miler?
Miles 1500 to 300.
1500 for the men, people are asking about. And then women's.
Ooh, this one was a fun one. Too. I enjoyed ranking this one. I had to go with Mario Garcia Romo, one. Mm-hmm. And Kip Sangha knew how to be there in the top three, but I had to put in the South Carolina kid. And he didn't run SECs, And I think it was because of Ramadan, which is why he didn't run. But he looked really good in the prelims. And I could see Garcia Romo potentially losing to, how do you say his last name?
I think it's Anas Issaye.
Anas Issaye? I honestly think Garcia Romo could lose to Issaye. So that's why I'm putting Issaye at least second. But I think it's, there's definitely a big three and then a drop off. I think Kip Sang, Issaye, and Garcia Romo, that's your big three. And then fourth through eighth is just, it's going to just be random. It's going to be chaos. It could be anybody. It could be someone
Issaye who's ranked 20. Issaye did beat him at the Ole Miss home
game, like,
beginning of the year.
In the Cape World, yeah. But he didn't race him at SECs because I'm assuming Issaye was Ramadan, so he didn't run. But he looked good in the prelims. I'm excited for this matchup. They're all really good runners. Like, they all run 335, 334 type in the 1500. So who do you think? Who would you take?
Garcia Romo.
Just the
experience.
Why?
Just the experience. Yeah, big meat runner. I think it's open. It's the same way I feel about we just forget how many upsets there are every year. Even the eight where you have Zahavi, who's the fastest guy in the world this year. I don't think he's a sure thing. I just think things change when you get into the championship part of the season. Eliud Kipsang, collegiate record holder. It's like, why are, you can make an argument for him too.
Yeah. I had the collegiate record holder third in the 1500. This is crazy.
I mean, Kipsang was second at SECs. So do you know that's why Issaye didn't run at SECs, or are you just speculating? Because people,
I'm assuming that. I know he was what's the word?
Fasting?
Observing Ramadan. I talked to the coach. So
okay,
that's
okay.
Why he would, I just know that's a thing, so I'm assuming that could have been a factor for why he didn't run.
Okay. Because I know some runners do run.
Yeah, some runners run through it. Okay. Some don't, so.
Gotcha. All right, women's 400, and then we'll move on. Last one, women's 400. People want to know about this women's quarter mile, another event where Texas is going to be pretty strong.
Going with Cherokee Young. She does have the best time, A&M. And then the two Texas women, Stacey Ann Williams and Kennedy Simon, 2-3. Alexis Holm and Talitha Diggs, who I think they were. Diggs was the one who won indoors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have the indoor champion all the way down in fifth.
Yeah.
But I do think it's just going to be an all Texas up front. I think Williams and Young are the two best favorites. Holmes and Diggs could, put together a good race and find a way to win. I wouldn't be surprised, but. You got to put your money on Young and your leftover money on Williams. And then the money you find under your couch cushions on Holmes and Diggs.
So at SECs, it was Wilson, who's not running the event. And then Young, Holmes, and Diggs. That was the order. It's too bad we don't have some advanced metrics on how, SEC sprint champions. How often they win NCAAs. That's not even that advanced of a metric, actually. It would just take a lot of time. They always say, it's the biggest, it's such a huge, that you have to run an insane time to win it. So it's this proving ground. But also at the same time, I could see it being a bit draining too. And maybe you're peaked for that moment. And then 2 weeks later or 4 weeks later, it's a different story.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But in this case, Britton Wilson's not running it, so it's not even the champion.
Yeah. And again, back to harp on the story of what I think the weekend's going to be. While SEC steals the headline because they have the best talent, the depth, they got the Bowlings, they got the Steiners, Ophelias, they got it all. What they don't have is the University of Texas yet. And if Texas was in that SEC meet, they would have destroyed everyone, in my opinion. Especially on the women's side. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But you're going to see a lot of 2 to 3 women in multiple finals for the for Texas, which is hard to do. So maybe I'm a little biased. We were just at Texas literally yesterday, filming a workout Wednesday. But
yeah, I was going to say biased. What
I let the computers tell
was
me.
Was it? Yeah. Did you see something at the workout and then you're like, ah, got to change the algorithm here? The block starts look good. Let's go back into the computers and change some stuff.
No.
So
I didn't change.
Yeah, they're incredibly deep. They have points coming from all different directions. So even if one person falters, then they're going to be fine. And the reality is, and all the coaches know this and talk about it, with the schedule being so tight, you want to have a deep roster. It's hard to get people to double and triple in that meet and rely on one or two people to get the lion's share of your points.
Yeah.
Texas has 33
internet coaching.
33 entries. Yeah, I'm just looking at this is interesting. Total entries by school. So this is men and women. Texas have 33. LSU 25. Florida and Texas Tech have 24.
You're getting quieter and quieter the way you're talking.
Yeah, I'm trying out for NPR, guest hosting gig. This is Kevin Sully. It's 7:46 Pacific time. Now to Market Watch with Gordon Mack. Gordon. Now to Internet Coach with Gordon Mack. Let's go, Internet Coach. If you want to participate in Internet Coach, want some advice, email the show, flowtrackpodcast@gmail.com. Subject line, Internet Coach. Listen, Gordon has glasses now. He's only going to dispense good advice. The old advice, probably discount it. That was pre-glasses, Gordon. He wasn't seeing things clearly. Now he is bespectacled, and he's ready to help you reach your running, jumping, or throwing goals. Colt, who are we helping out this week?
All right, so here is Matthew, and here's the situation he's going with.
Matthew, okay. Hey. He's on June the 12th. He's running an 800-meter solo time trial. Interesting. Gordon, why don't you take it away on this one?
So in the fourth week of training, running on and off for the past, he's in this fourth week of training. He's been running on and off for the past 3 years. He's only been training for 4 weeks on and off for the past 3 years. Is that it?
No, we got a little bit more.
Okay. 19, last 800 was 158 3 years ago. So at 16, you ran 158. It's pretty good.
Here's some recent 16. Workouts.
All right. May 31st and May 27th. So this later workout, he did 6x200, rest 6x200. He was basically running 31s, 30s, and then a little bit of a 32 here and there. But mainly 30s, okay? And then May 31st, keep the graphic up. 4x224, who was running 33, 33, 66, 32, 31, 64. So it's kind of interesting how your 200s got slower 4 days later than before. Because 4x2, the first, you know, you went 31, 31, and then the other ones you started opening with 33s. You were scared of the 400, clearly. You're like, scared of 400. But you shouldn't be because we were able to run 60 in the last one. All right. So let's go back. What's doing a time trial, 800. He's run 158. You've been running on and off. I know what that feels like, run on and off. You've only been training for 4 weeks. You're in good shape for only training for 4 weeks and running on and on and off. I mean, the fact that you're able to do that 4x200 workout and end with the 60, you know, it's pretty good. All right, so what's the questions?
All right, so questions? Yeah, specifically for you, Gordon. I want to figure out what workouts to do.
Oh, okay.
This is all Gordon. I love
three
it.
Workouts. I got to write three workouts. All right.
Do it, Gordon.
Race is on June 12th.
I'm not going to give you three workouts. I'll just
June
12th
is race. And he's
no, give him three. He wants three. Give him three.
All right, three workouts. So June 3rd. He has a workout today. He needs a workout today? Okay.
So he's watching live probably, waiting for his workout from you.
He's on the track on his phone watching it. Be like, Coach, what am I doing?
Hopefully. That's the level of dedication I want from the segment.
Okay, you definitely need to do some type of, like, longer stuff. Because right now you're only doing four. You need to throw in some 600s in there. So I would say not even a 600. Do like a 500 because stopping after 400 is a little too easy. So I'd say do a four by 500.
Come on, Gordon. Give him a workout. Right,
do a
what is it?
4x500.
4x500. Okay.
Yeah, 4x500, and the June 10th workout. I'll tell you what the June 10th workout is. The one last one, I want you to run, basically run a 30-second 200.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna do what is it two? You're gonna do 2x600. No, 6x200. Sorry, I'm putting this together all last minute. You're doing 6x200, where you're gonna run a 200 in like 29 or 30 seconds, probably 30, and then you jog 200 meters. All right, and then the second 200, you're gonna run the exact same time. You're gonna try to always hit the exact same time. So pick a time, probably 30.5 or whatever. You run 30.5 again, or maybe 31. You run 31. And then you're going to accelerate for 20 meters. Mm. Right? So you're really running a 220. And then you can jog the remaining back to the start line again. Then you can do it again. Again, run a 31. Then you're going to accelerate for 20 meters. And then accelerate again for another 20 meters. So you're teaching yourself to add a gear every 20 meters. So you run a 240. Then you do it again, doing a 260, then a 280, and then a 300. And when you're doing the extra 20, 40, 60, 80, or 100 meters, you have to accelerate every 20 meters. So it's trying to teach yourself that you can try to go to another gear with keeping the same opening 200. So do that the last workout. And then the other workout, I'll do like a 8x400.
Isn't his thing on the 12th?
Yeah.
He's going to be you don't want to do 8x400 2 days before his.
No, you do. You do 8x400 on the 7th. That 200 workout is the 10th workout. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay.
Third, gotcha. You do 4x500. Seventh, you do 8x400. And then
I think it might be gassed 12th, by the you, end.
The 12th, you do the 200 meter workout. You don't get gassed in the 200 meter workout. It's easy. You're just running 200 meters, bro. You're done.
Here's what I would do. He didn't ask me. Starts.
We have a separate question for you, Kevin. Actually,
with blocks, I'm going to say a lot of block starts. Go ahead.
All right.
What's the question? Race plan, predict time. I mean, I'm going to give this back to Gordon though, because Gordon's been shepherding us through this entire segment. Give me a range in terms of time. What do you think?
I think he's going to run 204 to 208.
All right, so race plan. I mean, everybody talks about that third 200, right? For that race, for the 800, right? The third 200 is where it's at.
The third 200, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to do something there to stay aggressive. I think go out in 62. Go out in 62. Again, try to push. Do you have access to wave light technology? Would be my follow-up. If not, do you have access to several rabbit? Like, could you become...
Could you call... Where do you live?
Track club? Yeah.
Where do you live? Like, is Eric Sawinski available?
Yes.
If he's available, then you're good.
Yeah. Do we know where the emailer... Like, Iowa? Anywhere in the Midwest? Can we fly... Sawinski out. Sawinski should start a side business. It's like, I'll pace you to your PR. And this could be
that's a great business.
One of his clients. Yeah.
First client.
Yeah. Just pacing all the time.
That's low-key a great business plan.
The money is not always in the fastest people. Sometimes the money is in the masses because there's more of us out there. And they're probably willing to pay.
He definitely has extra cash available. You could throw Sawinski a couple $100, right?
And then, So I mean the whole, you know, the Nick Simmons thing is always like 2 second differential, right? Between the first lap and the second lap. So I think 62 would set him up. I mean, don't go out any quicker than 30 for the first 200, I would say. Try to nail that first 200 in 30. And then you're going to be by yourself if all these other plans don't work. You won't have any lights. So it's going to be tough from there on. But that third 200, focus on it. Hey, did we ever figure out, remember that guy who we saw in at the Penn Relays who was running 800, who was listening to the pod while he saw us? Did that race happen?
Yeah, he ran a running lane apparently.
Okay. Do we know if he hit his time?
I don't remember his name. He was trying to run like 155 or something. 800.
Yeah. I'll say on your advice, I mean, I know that was your – okay, apparently he's from Wisconsin. So Sawinski's not far away. I don't know where his city is in Wisconsin relative to where Sawinski's at, but it can't be too hard to find him, to get him there. Maybe have to do a little GoFundMe or something. But I would go lighter on the workouts than what Gordon suggested. Now, I know I wasn't asked the workout question, but I would just go into this with a lot of pop in my legs. Rest is amazing. So good luck. Let us know how it goes.
I disagree. I don't think my workouts are that strenuous. It's, let's say,
2 days before, nothing's 2 days before, though.
Well, that, and then,
that's fine. But two days before, it's not going to make a bit of difference one way or the other. All it's going to do is slow you down. Now, long term, if he's talking about, I want to be able to be awesome in August, so you want to keep putting the work in. But if this time trial is really important, and it's important to me and you because we want to show our bona fides when it comes to internet coaching, I want him to be rested. I don't want to come in with heavy legs at all. So we got one more question. Tell me something that will make me run fast. We're
Colt.
Counting
this
on
for Colt.
You.
No, this I've is got, for Colt.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, sorry. Oh,
I'm trying to steal my question, man.
Sorry.
It's all right. I got three quick ideas. I just wanted to run past you guys. I've been doing a little research on the shoes. I'm not seeing why aren't people just making the spikes longer? Wouldn't that give you a little bit more traction? Is it 800
football cleats?
Yeah,
there's
just
some rules against that, Colt.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, I didn't get to that part of the rule book. Second advice is just drink water. I think that will carry over for all events. And my third one, and we've been seeing
Colt,
this. Yeah.
Colt, if there's no water available, should he go towards Gatorade or Powerade?
Ooh, definitely Gatorade. Powerade is like the Walmart brand. I don't know if we have any sponsorships that I ruined, unfortunately, there. But yeah, don't drink Powerade, Gatorade only. And third suggestion, we've been seeing a lot of, I don't know, like people getting attacked on the track. So I know this is a time trial, but maybe just bring the baton with you. Just for self-defense, someone's coming on the track, trying to mess with your time. Just beat them away with that baton. You'll be fine.
So be on the lookout on your time trial. I like that.
Man, that's good advice. Says, I will include your coaching, Gordon, in my YouTube video. Kevin, I will play your clip the day before my race. Colt, I'll listen to your advice in the moments leading up to the race. I could attend the podcast live if I know what date and time. Oh, okay. Yeah, so he comes back on. We'll have to bring him on. We got to hear if this worked, right?
Yeah. So wait, time trials on the 12th? Are we live on the pod that day?
What day is that?
It's a Sunday. Checking.
Sunday.
Back We're not live Sundays. That day.
Bonus live pod? We did Rabat Diamond League, and then we go to 800 time trial in Wisconsin.
But how cool would it be? He should definitely join the pod on that Monday morning, and we'll we'll lead our podcast, not with what happened in NCAAs, but with what happened in this 800 time trial.
Yeah. Good advice, though, Cole. I think your advice was probably the most important.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Film it and send it in. If you're listening,
30.
Film your 800 and send it in.
Yeah. Not too fast. Drink water. Bring a baton like Colts. What's the deal with these spikes? All right. We're finding out the city here. Oh, it's okay. So close to Green Bay.
What's the weather like there? Is the weather okay?
Should have asked that before you prescribed all those crazy workouts, Gordon. Now, which coach
workouts.
Were you?
That 200 workouts which, go to 2 day out workout. I'm telling you.
Which coach were you channeling there with those workouts? Was that Mike Smith? Was that Carl Lewis? Was that Diljit Taylor? Was that Edric Floreal, who you just saw yesterday?
It's a little bit of a few.
Everything?
I don't want to say who it was. Those are all workouts I've done. One of those workouts I did in high school. Another of those workouts I did in college. And another one of those workouts I watched someone do while in my 20s. I won't say which one was which.
Wait, when you say watch someone do when you were in your 20s, was that in your capacity as working at FloTrack? So you were watching a fast person do that?
Maybe.
Who was it? Well, say the athlete. What do you mean? You don't have to say the word. What's the secrecy about?
No, there's secrecy. It wasn't a professional athlete. It was a local Austin runner.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought you were going to be like, this is the workout that David Odisha did before he broke the world record. And you weren't going to tell us.
No, it's not that.
Apparently, the weather on the 12th is going to be high of 95, low of 70. Ooh. Yeah. Did he say what time of day he's going to do it?
I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you have a rant for this week? Or do you want me to rant about you?
I don't have a rant. I was trying to think. Okay. Nothing bothered me too much about our sport. Sport stayed kind of low key.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm going to do my Gordon rant then. Listen, I need help from the audience here to encourage Gordon. Now, Gordon does a lot of things that drive me crazy. He probably does a lot of things that drive you crazy. They confound you. They frustrate you. I went out yesterday on a shoot with Gordon. We had a good time. It was fun. We went to Texas. You know, it's a great experience. Anytime you can witness a program firsthand, I don't take that stuff for granted. But then on the car ride home, Gordon's telling me about a recent day that he had and the food that he ingested. And ordinarily I hear these stories and I laugh and I chuckle. But this broke me. This broke me, which is why I need to bring it up in the pod and talk to everybody else, because I just don't get why we're still having this issue. So this is the story that Gordon told. I'm probably going to get some facts wrong, but whatever. The truth won't be too much worse than the reality. He woke up one day late and then for lunch had two leftover donuts, which left him feeling poorly, as you can imagine, because he's a man in his mid-30s and all he had to eat that day was two donuts, right? A lot of sugar in your system. Then he got to dinner time. And he realized he had a soccer game coming up because Gordon is an athlete. He plays in an adult soccer league, co-ed soccer league. And he realized that the two donuts that he had for lunch wasn't going to cut it. So what did he do? He pounds a banh mi right before he goes on the field. And obviously that impacts his performance. To what degree, I don't know because I wasn't watching him, but he played like crap, folks. So he tells me the story when I'm in the car. I'm just like, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you making life so hard on yourself? There are plenty of good ways to get healthy food or at least consistent food in your body in 2022. So everything I've said doesn't work because this has been a couple of years, although I've never confronted him publicly on a podcast like this before, so maybe this will change. Coworker Brian, everybody tells Gordon, hey, this is crazy. This is weird. So I'm hoping the podcast community can help you, you know, in the spirit of you becoming a dunker, I feel like it will help you to jump higher. If there's just, I'm not even saying better food. I'm just saying more consistent food. That's all I'm saying at this point. So please, listeners, help me help Gordon.
I appreciate that you decide to have this intervention live on YouTube with a bunch of our followers. You know?
Yeah.
Can I defend myself? Can I have at least one defense? One defense?
Sure.
That day, that diet that day was not planned. That was not my intention. I don't plan on doing it again. I didn't enjoy it. Okay. It was all because of circumstantial situations that led to the two donuts and the banh mi. Just, you know, I normally go to a grocery store, but, you know, I was gone for...
No, you don't. You don't. For
Memorial
you
don't go Day to grocery weekend, store. We've so I didn't go to the grocery store then. So there was just like one day led to another, and all of a sudden, my entire fridge is empty for way too long.
Dude, Travis is all
That's
over
That's not what my fridge looks like.
That's...
When
Zoom
I go
in
to
on that.
Store. I swear. I swear.
It,
I swear.
The caption literally says, "This is what happens when I go grocery shopping. Hashtag still a kid." Which is this is the problem.
This was 385 weeks ago. This is so long ago. I'm a different man. I've changed.
Dude, you got, Gordon, you got an 18-pack of Snickers, Three Musketeers, and Milky Way ice cream bars in there. Okay. You have Hot Pockets. You have the most healthiest thing in here is, and you have two different types of soft pretzels. Which kind of offends me just in terms of lack of variety. Like, if you're going to go unhealthy, throw something else in there at least. I don't know, mozzarella sticks or something. Your freezer even closed with all that? Like, the pretzels are, like, sticking out to the side.
This is from a long time ago. This is from 2015. This is a long time ago. I don't know how Travis is finding an Instagram from 2015, but okay. Okay, so Miles Watts asking, how many calories do you eat on a daily basis? I have no idea. I probably should know that. Here's the thing. You're criticizing my diet. I would like to say, I personally think I am getting healthier than I was in 2021. I'm biking every day.
We need to speed it up. We need the nutrition is a key part. I love that you're working out. I love that you've prioritized physical fitness. But the building, you know, the when you told me that story yesterday, something in me was just like, I gotta say something. I gotta bring
this
up.
You're right.
Can we get internet coach, but like internet like nutritionist?
Internet nutritionist or new segment?
We need to get somebody to write in or somebody to suggest. I mean, I guess the obvious stuff, here's another one, introducing the airport diet where you ate a Snickers. Man, you posted all this stuff on social media. Here's a picture of Welch's fruit snacks and Snickers peanut
See, that's
butter.
From 2016. Different man. I was a different man then. Different person. All right. You're right. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going to go to the grocery store after this podcast. How about
that? Can you film it? Here's what you need to do. Because there's all this evidence of you making
food choices. I got to show what I bought on Monday's podcast?
Yeah. Let's start documenting this. Let's start documenting this so that people can follow along. Let's see if Gordon can get some vegetables in the diet. Or let's see if Gordon again just consistency. Just consistency. That's all I'm looking for. I just don't want to hear a two donut and then banh mi right before you go play midfielder story again. I just don't want to hear that again.
It wasn't good, man. I thought Ooh.
And the reason I bring it up is because you acknowledged it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But then you're also acknowledging you almost were implying like, nothing I could do. And I was telling you, no, you do have ownership over these choices. So please, listeners, whatever you can do, if you can think it, help out my co-host, Gordon. We'll be back though. On Sunday. That's the plan, at least. Rabat Diamond League recap. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, subscribing, following, all that good stuff. Thanks to Colt. Thanks to Travis. Fun show on a Friday. Have a great weekend, everyone.